It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we've got a guest doing concerts tonight at the Blue Note at 6:30 and 9. It's Johnny A., a Boston-based guitar player you may have actually seen at that venue when he was part of the Yardbirds a few years ago. He is back with a solo instrumental guitar show he is calling Just Me and My Guitars, celebrating the British songbook of the 60s. And in addition to the Yardbirds, Johnny's worked with Peter Wolf of the Jake Giles Band, Bobby Whitlock from Derek and the Dominoes, and has lots of stories to share. Hey, how you doing, Johnny? Aloha, man. Thanks for doing this.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing? Thanks.
I'm very good, thank you. It's, as somebody from the New England area might say, it's wicked pissa. It's the balls.
Exactly.
Good to have you with us. And thinking back, what was your first concert?
Okay, the first major artist I probably saw, it might have been on Revere Beach at the ebb tide, and it was Chuck Berry on a Sunday matinee.
Wow.
And I might have been around 11 years old or 12. My mom took me or something. But there's been countless concerts. I saw the Beatles at Suffolk Downs in 66, Hendrix in 68.
Where was Jimmy? Just
everybody. Where was Hendrix?
Yeah.
He was at the Carousel Theater in Framingham, Massachusetts. It was August 68. It was a great story. I get to the show. My mom had surprised me. She's a very big supporter in my life and music and stuff and my career. But she got tickets to the show. We drive up, and it's basically a big outdoor tent. And we had 10th row tickets, which I was excited about. But when we got in there, my tickets were behind the amplifier stacks, and I wouldn't have seen anything. There were three bands on the bill, one band that Jimmy had produced called Heir Apparent, and they were from Ireland. Soft Machine was the second act, and then Jimi Hendrix Experience. And after the Heir Apparent, I just kind of got out of my seat, and I started talking to the guitar player. They were moving their own gear and everything. It was a really cool kid. And was telling him I was such a big fan of Jimi Hendrix's and my seat, I'm not going to be able to see anything. And I don't even know what his name was, but he was just such a cool guy. He walked me by all the security guards, and he walked me right into the orchestra pit, right in front of Jimi Hendrix. My head was on the stage. I had my chin rested on the stage, and I was the only person in the orchestra pit right in front of him. Nobody was sitting there but me.
Incredible. That's neat that your mother, because it was your mom who took you to Chuck Berry too, huh?
Took me to Chuck Berry, you know, got us the tickets for the Beatles. And, I mean, she took me to see the Dave Clark Five when I was a kid.
Wow.
And, you know, and then allowed me to just, as a young guy, venture into Boston on my own or with my friends. And I mean, I saw everybody in the day.
How about Paul's Mall Jazz Workshop stuff?
I went there. Yeah. Matter of fact, I played Paul's Mall with a band I had in Boston called The Streets. If you remember Paul's Mall and the Jazz Workshop, it was in one building. And the impresario there was Freddie Taylor, who
just passed.
Recently passed away. Yeah. Yep. But I was playing the Paul's Mall, the front room, and Martin Mull was playing the Jazz Workshop down the hall in the same building, and they had to come to us. We had to stagger our shows because my band was so damn loud that nobody could hear Martin Mull telling his jokes.
That is funny. And those are the great old days there in town. And I guess that's sort of how you must have crossed paths. Well, thinking about this gig you're doing and the last time you were in town, you did the Yardbirds when they were here in 2016. How'd you link up with those dudes eventually?
You know, interestingly enough, the Beatles, my favorite all-time band. And growing up, my second favorite band was the Yardbirds. My first two albums were released on Steve Vai's label, Favorite Nations. He also put out a record for the Yardbirds in 2004. So we were label mates for a while. They happened to be coming through Boston, and they were playing the original House of Blues, the small one. I went to the show, introduced myself. They asked me to sit in, and it was great. Then I got a call from the label that week and asked if I could go down to B.B. King's in Manhattan and sit in with them again, which I did. And then I got a call, 2014 originally, about doing a tour. Jim McCarty had a medical thing, and the tour got canceled. The next year when they were rebooking, I got a call again, and I was available, and I basically worked with them 15, 16, 17, and 18, just about 4 years of touring.
Legendary Jim McCarty, he's been on the show with us a few times, and of course Chris Drea, who has unfortunately, I guess, had a stroke and doesn't.
Right, he hasn't been performing with them, I think, since 2012.
The legendary Yardbirds, and that was one of the loudest shows, if not the loudest, most rocking show ever that I've seen at the Blue Note. And you have another cat on your thinking about being around the Boston scene and those interesting stories of especially playing so loud over at Fred Taylor's place. They had to get you to quiet down. Hooking up with Peter Wolf, who is the frontman of the Giles Band, major music luminary in the Boston area. How'd you first get that gig?
I first met Peter when he was putting together the tour for that solo album, Come As You Are, and a good buddy of mine, rest in peace, Jeff Golub, was on that record. And Peter was putting together a band for that tour. Jeff Golub was on guitar. Peter wanted another guitar player. So Jeff and I were friends. And Jeff brought Peter to see me one night. And he liked my playing, but he just thought that Jeff and I were two similar guitarists. So he passed on me. And then I got a call to go in and record an acoustic single for a WBCN Christmas record with Peter. And so I did that. And strangely enough, when I was musical director for Bobby Whitlock of Derek and the Dominoes, we were doing something live on MBR, I think, in Boston radio there. And I got a call after that performance from Peter wanting to get together. And that the rest was that. We put this band together. We did the Long Line album. I was musical director and played with them for about 8-9 years, I guess.
Peter rubbed shoulders with all these cats like the Stones. What's a fun memory that sticks out?
Well, okay, you brought up the Stones, so... One, there's two Stone stories. One was, first Stone I met was, we were playing this little place in the Hamptons called Stephen Talkhouse in Montauk. High-end talent plays there, but it was only, would hold 100 people. And we were at soundcheck loading in, and Jan Wenner, the head of Rolling Stone magazine, came there and talking to Peter because they're friends. And he says, yeah, mix in town. We're going to try to bring him back to the show and blah, 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 blah. And so we do the show, and it's this small little place. Like when you put on the stage lights, it lights up the whole room. At the time, I used to wear these dark sunglasses on stage. And we're doing the first song of the show. When the solo comes, I go to the lip of the stage, and the stage is only about 10 feet deep. And the spotlight comes on me, and as I look down at my guitar, right in front of me is Mick Jagger. Looking at me and like... And it threw me at first because it's like, you know, one of those faces that you've seen for 45 years, but you couldn't place him. So I'm like, I'm trying to play this solo, and I'm looking at this guy. I'm saying, this guy looks really familiar. And it was Mick Jagger. And that was great. We met him, and he was very cordial. He was really a nice guy. And then on the Voodoo Lounge tour, Peter had taken us to the tour, and he says to me, you want to meet Keith? I said, well, who doesn't want to meet Keith, right? So... We go to the whose trailer. Pete knocks on the door, and it's just like the movies. It's just like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean or something. Flails open the door, and he's got this red, bright red kind of blousy shirt on, and he goes, "Hey, Peter!" And he says, "I wanted to bring by my my guitar player Johnny A to meet you." And Keith is like, "Hey, mate, any mate of Pete's a mate of mine. Come on in." That was a funny story.
That's a great one.
Yeah, those are my two Rolling Stone stories.
And they're very good ones, man. That's actually a great one, coming to town doing a British show. Because you're going to have some Stones in the set, I imagine, yeah?
I do. I'm not going to give away the song.
No, don't.
I like surprise.
Yeah. Keep it
There's a little bit of everybody, and I think, you know, there'll be a lot of light bulb moments when they hear the songs, because you're obviously hearing them in a different format. You're not hearing vocals. You're hearing instrumental, and you can see the inquisitive looks in people's eyes, and they think they know the song, and all of a sudden it clicks in, you know?
Kind of like you going, I've seen that face. I know who that is.
Exactly. Exactly, Dave.
It's Johnny A, and he's been a very fun guest, and bringing his good sense of humor and his great storytelling and obviously fantastic guitar playing to the Blue Note, where he returns with his British Songbook of the 60s celebration that he's got, just me and my guitars. He was in that room with the Yardbirds. You may or may not have seen him there, but he's back there tonight doing the shows at the Blue Note, 6:30 and 9. I really appreciate it, and I hope you had a wicked piss of balls of a time here on the show.
Dude, it was awesome. I really appreciate the support.
All right, brother. High fives. If I can, I'll make it down there and say hi at the thing. But you are very animated and a lot of fun and a great storyteller. I love all that stuff.
All right, kid. I hope I see you then.
Travel safe.
All right, brother.